With a husband or a hand. Got it? Right there. To explain the matter. What is considered a good essence and what is considered a bad essence? This whole chapter has been talking about that a person needs to establish that a person should have a good essence. That a person should be essentially good. Yeshlaima, we can say the following. Because Hashem has created in this world, which is called the world of Bechira, the world of free choice, as Koyach HaToy V'Hakdusha, the power of good and holiness, as Koyach Hara V'Hatuma, and the power of evil and impurity. Which find themselves under the reign of the Sitra Achra. A person that is essentially good means someone who is find himself under the reign of the good and holiness. Even if sometimes the person stumbles upon an avera, it is merely coincidental. However, the person's essence remains under the reign of good. On the contrary, someone who finds himself under the reign of evil, who is as if he is captured in their hands. Even when he does, he happens to learn Torah or daven or perform good deeds, that is coincidental. But he has not been freed from the shackles of the Sitra Achra. He has not left the essence of evil. His existence is still in the world of Toyu, the world of emptiness. And therefore, kol kabaloisa machlatois of all the person's resolutions, they do not come to fruition. He finds himself constantly going back to where he was. His resolutions don't hold ground. To the point that it is unknown. You couldn't even tell that the resolution was ever made. Because as long as the person was not freed from the reign of the Sitra Achra, he isn't his own master. He isn't in control of himself, that he should be able to conduct himself as he wishes. Now, what does a person do if they do find themselves in this situation? The person has to exercise self-sacrifice in order to free oneself from the reins of the Sitra Achra, and to go over and to subjugate oneself to the reign of the good and holiness, and to become essentially good. He doesn't explain what kind of selfless sacrifice is not necessary. But hopefully he will. This concept is alluded to in the words of Chazal. Tzadikim yetzatov shetan. Please join us. Tzadikim are judged by the yetzatov. No. Tzadikim Yetzatov Shavtov. Tzadikim are judged by the Yetzatov, by the good inclination. Rishoyim Yetzahara Shavtov. The wicked are judged by their Yetzahara. Really, the word judge is not right. Not the right word here. Shavtov means... rule. The Yetzer Tov rules the Tzadikim, and the Yetzer Hara rules the Rishayim. Beinanim, the Abeinani, Zevezeh Shavtam, is ruled by the two of them together. So he says, so the Nesiv Shalom explains, how Tzadikim is the Eglushayim Ve'etzim Tacha Shultan HaTov. Tzadikim is a reference to people who are essentially under the rule of goodness. But Rishayim Rishoyim is a reference to those who are essentially under the rule of the Sitracha. V'habeinanim, and the Beinani, is Elush Ein Lahem Yitzivus Ruchnis, is people who don't have spiritual stability. Rather, the two of them, both the Yitzitayim and the Yitzahara, rule the person. Yashitim Shem Nitzom Tachas Shultan Koychara. The times that the person finds himself under the rule of the powers of evil, yesh itim shem is gabrim, mashlitim is koyach atoyv al etzmo shalahem. There are times that they are able to overcome their yitzahara, and the powers of good and kedusha reign a rule over them.
He doesn't use the word benoni the same way that Gemara uses kedusha in terms of number of mitzvahs and veras and whatnot, right?
No, he's not using that term.
He's using it more in the way the Baal HaTanya does?
Neither, no. According to the Baal HaTanya, the Beinani is a tzaddik.
Ah, wow.
Yeah. The Beinani is someone who never does an aver.
But tzaddik is one who never wants to do an aver.
Right, right. That's the difference. According to the Baal HaTanya, that's the difference.
Ah.
Yep. He does want to go to the Baal HaTanya, the Beinani does want to do another.
Right.
He does, but he resists never... it successfully.
This
is like a higher level.
Or at least
it does sound like a higher level. You're right.
Yeah.
It's very, the difference between a tzaddik and a Beinani, according to the Baal HaTanya, is very small.
It's huge. The tzaddik just does what he wants, just like the Rasha.
Right.
That's a good call.
What is your safer coming up?
Right.
Yeah. Wow. He's testing at work first.
Wow, what if he does?
You should know that my great grandfather, the Ramatul Anastaipa, writes in a letter. He's writing to one of us to see them. I was getting very bent out of shape, that he has bad thoughts, impure thoughts. So, the chassid was getting so bent out of shape about it that he was contemplating suicide. So he wrote to his rabbi, and Ramatla writes back to him, and his lashon is, I'll tell you in lashon kodesh, and I'll translate, Misha roitze shiyadatoi machshavtoi zach v'nakik mekadosh elyonim ein zeh elotav. He says, someone who wants that their thoughts should be as pure as tzadikim, that is a taiva like any other taiva. It's just a taiva. The avoid of a benini is to have those thoughts and to get rid of them. So I think what Nehuda said is very true. Getting to be the tzaddik, that is the challenge. Once you're there, it's an easy ride. Yeah.
Is that why they're a Gilguli?
The Ha'ais. Now, what is a sign? How do I know where I stand? Am I essentially good or am I essentially bad? Am I under the reign of the Sitra Achra or under the reign of Kedusha?
My wife tells me.
Through which a person can know where the person stands. Is he under the reign of the Yetzer Tov, or is he under the reign of the powers of evil? Is alluded to in the words of Chazal. They established and they said, Tamido shel Avram Avinu, the disciples of Avram Avinu, Ayin Toiva, have a good eye, Beruach Nemucha, they have a low spirit, meaning that they're humble, Menefesh Shvela, and they have a low appetite. Tamidim shel Bilam Arasha, the Talmidim of Bilam, Ayin Ra, have an evil eye, Beruach Gevaya, a high spirit, meaning that they're haughty, Menefesh Rechava, and a broad appetite. So Avraham Avinu.
This is
Esau. Bilam. Avraham Avinu, who adds a matayv. Avraham Avinu is the essence of good. Ubilam Arasha, b'chenes atzamara. Bilam Arasha is the essence of evil. The gimel dvarim alolu malam demahu matzava yaruchni shel adam. These three things can tell a person what is his spiritual standing. If the person is essentially good, then yesh lei ayin tov, he has a good eye. Beruach nemucha, he has a low spirit, menefesh shvela, and a low appetite. And if he belongs to the essence of evil, yesh lei ayin ra, he has an evil eye. Beruach givoya, a high spirit, menefesh rechava, and a broad appetite.
What is meant by high or low spirit?
Whether he's arrogant or humble. V'yisa b'chazal. And it says in Chazal, Miyale b'har Hashem, the pasuk, who will ascend to the mountain of Hashem. Chazal says, Zeh Avraham Avinu. This is Avraham Avinu. Shenemar, lech lecha el eretz ha-Maria. Go to the land of Maria. And bring your son as a oila on one of the mountains that I will tell you. That is what the first of the pasuk of Tehillim, it says, Miyalava Hashem, who will ascend to the mountain of Hashem. That's a reference to Avraham Avinu, who was commanded to go to ascend the mountain of Hashem. And who will stand in his holy place? The Avraham Avinu, that is also Avraham Avinu. Shenema boy. Which is said upon Avraham Avinu, El Hamakai Masher Amad Shamas Pnei Hashem, to the place where he stood there to face Hashem Ad Kan. Haperish, the explanation of this Chazal is, Ki Madrega Zu, Liyaz Oyle Bahar Hashem, this level of ascending on the mountain of Hashem, Uliyaz Nar Mekayach HaMashicha, El Ha'aretz Yiz V'Chomriyaz, and to be able to shake oneself off, from the drive to physicality, to earthliness and physicality. That is the definition of ascending the mountain of Hashem. Distancing oneself from earthliness and physicality. Zishayich Rak Avraham Avinu. That is only possible to, that is only related to Avraham Avinu. Va'od Yoiser, and even more than this, Mi Umiyakam Kam Kodshai, who will be able to stand in a holy place, meaning Sha'aliyah Tia, meaning that that ascending should, that a person should be able to stand on that level and not fall from it. Sha'aliyah Tia Im Yitzivus, that ascending should be with stability. The Yishor Tamid Mukam Kodshai, to remain in the holy place. And even in a time when the world is experiencing earth-shattering experiences, such as the overturning of Zdeim and Amora, it's an analogy to a time when it's very difficult to be able to withstand the temptations of the time. Yamed chazek al mishmarta. Nevertheless, that person will be able to stand strong at their level. B'mokem asher amad shamas b'nei Hashem, the place where they stand to face Hashem. Zeh rak Avraham Avinu. This is only possible for someone who has those midas of Avraham Avinu, the good eye, the low spirit, and the low appetite. Because the someone who is like Avraham Avinu, their good is not something that is coincidental, that is only comes about through specific situations through different conditions and situations. Rather, that person is essentially good. So therefore, no power can move that person from his place. And he's able to stand strong. And he's not saying here that person never sins. He said before, that person does stumble and sin every once in a while. But that's coincidental. Instead of his good being coincidental, his bad is coincidental. I always like to look at every Jew as essentially good. I believe that's the way Chazal look at every Jew. And anything that a Jew does that is not good is coincidental based on the situations and the conditions that the person is in. And had the person would be really in touch with what they really are, a Jew would be really in touch with what a Jew really is, the Jew would be essentially good.
And if a person sees himself as essentially bad,
where can he get you anywhere? I mean, psychologically, it's not going to work.
So what's the story of the Gemara, who was the great city, who went to the Zona? I think he gave it over last week.
Later in the day?
Yeah. And all it took was that one little in, and the whole thing turned because his essence came out. And he did the complete
Right. So I'm not sure exactly what you put in there. I'm not sure exactly where what he's referring to. Unless you could say that there is the real, there is the essence. And then there is the. There's got to be two levels of essence there. So the real neshama obviously is essentially good. It could be what he's saying. He's just using a different term and it really is whose rule am I under? I guess that you could say that. A person can place themselves under the rule of the powers of Ra. The person that's. The person subjugates himself to that.
You're saying a person chooses who rules them?
Yeah, sure.
So then, isn't there like a parallel to what it says in Tehillim, Surmei Rabbim Aseto, first turn away from the evil, then do the good? Isn't that sort of a parallel going on with what
we're saying here? Yeah, I mean, I always think Sumer Masetov can talk about someone who is under the rule of Kedusha, but yet stumbled upon an Avera, and that person has to move away from Ra as well.
Even more so for the.
Right, for someone who's. Right. Someone who subscribes to the Sitra Achra is. I think that's what he's referring to. someone who is through their actions have made their life the type of life that is more subjugate to the sitrachra than to Kedusha, and even the good deeds that they do are that I consider coincidental. Even though, if you really go to the essence of the person, that's what I'm saying. If you really go to the essence of the person, that's really what the person wants to do. And the Rambam says so. The Rambam says so when regarding the famous Rambam by Gittin, when it comes to
beating.
That's right. You beat a person until he does what Chacham say. So the Rambam's question is, well, a get under duress is not considered a get. So the Rambam says, well, essentially, the person really wants to do what's right. And when you beat him, you're just getting rid of the Yetzirah.
Breaking the klipa.
But I guess it's partially, you know, by the first story of the Noach, everybody is doing what they want to do fine. They choose to be evil. But the last story by Babel talked that, and the political forces force these people to behave that way. So we're saying that, that they
choose. Is that true?
Inside and see. Yeah. You don't think it's true?
Have we not talked about once a person does that later, it becomes his nature?
Well,
or can we say that starts becoming his essence?
It doesn't become his essence, it becomes nature. I think that's a good point. I think you brought out the difference I was looking for. There's essence and there's nature.
When
your essence may not be natural.
When does the nature then become?
It becomes part of you.
When is it one?
Second nature.
Second.
So talk about double
chatan. Who what?
The first time you do the Zveira is doing the Zveira, and the next time you do it, it's already
mitzvah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's about the 54th time that there's a real problem.
Right, that's what it says in the Gemara.
Right? It becomes accept.
Anyway. Yep. You know, the Rebbeinu Snipeshit says that the Migdol Bavel, they built, and was a rocket ship.
Who says that?
The Rebbeinu Snipeshit.
When did he say this?
In the 1700s.
He said it was a rocket ship?
Yeah, he said they wanted to fly into space.
The tower?
Yeah.
I've heard that.
We go into detail about how the rocket engine was designed?
No, he just... they were trying to design something that can send to space.
Well,
Derek Zeh, yes, the Farish Mashamra Chazal. According to this, you can explain what Chazal say. Al Pasuk and the Pasuk, Vishavtim at the Eastern Venoyved Hashem Lashalay Avodai. It says in the Pasuk, you shall go back and look at the difference between someone who serves Hashem and someone who doesn't. So Chazal interpret what is the difference between someone who serves Hashem and someone who doesn't. That someone who serves Hashem, the Oved Hashem, is someone who reviews his learning 101 times. And someone who does not serve Hashem is someone who only reviews his learning 100 times. That's called someone who doesn't serve Hashem. It's very wondrous. It's that one time that makes the difference between someone who serves Hashem and someone who doesn't. Amnam, Habir, but the explanation is ki Oved Hashem nikra mi she'avodas b'chinas etzem lo nikra. A servant of Hashem is someone whose service is essential and not coincidental. Vashaloi avodoi, someone who does not serve Hashem. Hainu, that means Shadain Eino Esm Shaloi Avod Hashem. It's someone whose essence is not yet a servant of Hashem. The Chazal, Shiyodu Oimke Toiras HaNefesh, a Chazal that knew the depth of the laws of mankind. Kavu, they established Admei Apam Yochol Odom Lachzer Alimudai Gamem Eino Be'etzem Eved Hashem. They established, they realized that a person is able to review their learning 100 times, even if they are not essentially good. And the Beglan Atiyos Nafshios, it could be for selfish reasons. Ushiifa Lahasig Yidias Nisafos, it could be for a yearning to grasp additional knowledge. V'havana Amuka Yoser, or a deeper understanding. So his learning is not necessarily just for the sake of Hashem. It takes you out of Hashem just by the fact of being a servant of Hashem. It's rather only to grasp the depth of the matter. I don't know what's wrong with that. But this is where it is. He says, because it's possible the person just has a person has pleasure of grasping depths. But that one time extra learning, one time more than 100 times, the person, no additional knowledge will be grasped through that one extra time. His learning is only to bring pleasure to Hashem. That is proof that the person is a servant of Hashem, is essentially a servant of Hashem. Nokim calls Sig Shel Tanagatsmi, he is pure of any part of selfishness. I mean that Torah is just for the sake of servants of Hashem. So it's a litmus test. Is if your learning is for your own sake or for the sake of Hashem, you could do it 101 times.
But if your pleasure is becoming close to Hashem by understanding more deeply Hashem's thoughts,
he's not talking about it. He's talking about
it. I should just be bored and okay, I gotta go serve Hashem. Here I go.
No, so I think that's not what he's saying. I think that until then, the person can fool themselves into thinking that they're doing so in order to take pleasure in Avodas Hashem, or whether the person is really doing so just because the person has personal pleasure in grasping.
Serving Hashem.
No, in grasping knowledge. Whether it's and it could be he'd grasp that he would have the same pleasure from learning science or medicine. Right now, what he's studying is Torah, and therefore he wants to just get a tremendous pleasure out of intense knowledge. Huh?
His pleasure is coming from an intellectual study of it rather than an internalizing.
So it's better to learn without pleasure.
No, it's better to learn with pleasure. But as long as that pleasure is becoming close to Hashem, instead of intellectual.
Why do you do that? Do that because you want to gain from here, or do you do that because you want to get close to Hashem?
You learn the sake of raising your stature in the view of other people.
You don't know.
Well, that's certainly